Welcome to Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomen. Right now we're going to talk with a man who founded the United Assyrian Appeal, and the website is unitedassyrianappeal.org. We're going to talk about the refugee crisis that is hitting Europe at this present time. His name is Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Sangari. Am I saying that right, sir?
Correct. You are, sir.
Okay.
How are you today?
Good, good. So tell us about this refugee crisis, which, you know, some in the liberal media are trying to make it out like this is this big humanitarian side of things, and others are saying, well, no, a lot of these are Muslims who are trying to invade Europe, and what's going on, sir?
Well, on the refugee side of the house, what we do with the UnitedAssyrianAppeal.org, we really try to give money to the multi-families of the Assyrian Christian soldiers that are currently fighting in Nineveh Plain against ISIS to be able to stabilize them. So we realize that one thing we have to do is make sure we bring security to those individuals so that they won't have to leave and that their loved ones can go out and fight against ISIS itself. So that's basically what our focus point was when we started the UnitedAssyrianAppeal.org. Now, I will tell you, as far as the refugees are concerned, just for the Assyrians themselves, there's approximately 660,000 refugees throughout the entire Middle East, to include in Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and Lebanon. Majority of those we've tried to keep within the country because we don't want to see the Assyrians disperse from their homelands. But what is happening with the current crisis with the refugees, this issue has been ongoing for 4 years. The reason it's finally manifests itself into the large numbers of individuals going into Europe is because Turkey realized it was on the outside looking in after the Iranian nuclear deal was struck. And because of it is a way of Turkey basically trying to survive within the region, striking back against the European community, I-5 plus one, and the United States, who struck the deal with Iran to make it the superpower within the Middle East.
This is the first time I've ever heard this. You're saying that there's a direct link between the Iranian deal that President Obama made just a couple months ago or whatever, that was just signed in recently, and this current crisis with all the migration, the refugees.
That's part of it. There's some other larger economic issues and ideological issues in the region, but as soon as you struck that deal, you basically made Iran the nuclear, you've made Iran not a nuclear power, I should say, the major superpower in the region. As soon as you did that, now all the Sunni states had to be able to survive, with Saudi pretty much breaking up. We had initially indicated with the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, which I am a CEO of also, and we look at all these link analysis as to what's happening within the region. We had looked at them possibly breaking up sometime around the September duration. They've got to now retrieve and a reprieve probably through December, but they have to make some significant policy shifts in order to be establish themselves as a viable candidate of somebody who should get support within the region. As an example, if you want to tie it to the refugee issue, there's 100,000 air-conditioned tents right now that can house over 3 million people that are sitting in Saudi Arabia, and they haven't taken in one refugee yet. That would also help Europe. But the bigger plan with the Sunni states is, whether it be Saudi or be Turkey specifically, to facilitate the movement of these refugees in order to tie up NATO while it's trying to fight the refugee issue in order for also Russia to be able to move its footprint within Syria and basically establishes air base and establishes permanent presence within the country.
Okay, I'm totally confused, but let's focus on Syria just for a moment. And here's the question. Who are the good guys in Syria? I would assume the answer to that would be the Christians, but of course they're an oppressed minority.
Correct. The Christians were fighting against ISIS as of February 23rd of this past year, and they were holding their ground, which was a specific what we call supply nodes that you would have to control if you were going to go ahead and support a regime, in this case for an ISIS side of the house, to control Mosul and also at the same time al-Raqqa. The Christians were actually sitting there holding their ground. We didn't give them any support. So what happened was Turkey, in support of ISIS forces, clear that region, basically. Mm. And directly, of course, Turkey has been linked to ISIS. And if you go back, you'll see how they were significantly involved in the operation that cleansed the Christian Assyrians out of the Khabar River Valley. What happened, the Kurdish YPG came in. Kurdish YPG is very friendly to some of the Eastern philosophies. Even if you look at their funerals, they fly the hammer and sickle. So from there, a footprint of Russian involvement within the region of coming in and possibly linking itself directly to Syria and establishing a forward air base had begun. Turkey initially was on the prefaces of making a decision, which way is it going to go, support NATO, EU, and also the United States wants and desires as far as the new Middle East is concerned, or support some other individuals and other global players' desires within the region. Well, when you strike the Iran nuclear deal and Turkey feels like it's left outside of the box, now Turkey has a fence for itself. Wow. The way Turkey makes money on the refugee issue is they're making it in the billions. If you take a look at basically what the price of oil had dropped to, which was $20 per barrel, Turkey wasn't going to be able to sustain itself economically because it realized that it would be under tremendous pressure from other powers who wanted to see Turkey take a step back within the region as Iran expanded its footprint. Turkey created the refugee crisis by opening its borders to allow it to make money. Basically, we have a new article in the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, which specifically looks at the refugee crisis being nothing more than a new oil for Turkey. You know, given the vast numbers are seeking to escape from the Middle East, the potential profits are astronomical.
For Turkey,
you're talking about $2.5 billion U.S. in a single year being raised just in the smuggling process of individuals coming across the border in Turkey. And Turkey also gets money from UNHCR in the billions of that are required to keep its economy sustained.
Oh, this is awful. Okay, so tell me, who are the refugees for the most part?
The refugees, you do have Syrians, but they're also from North Africa. They're from Afghanistan. They're coming from all over the place. One of the biggest problems that we had looked at initially before the refugee crisis came about, and we were the first in the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement to point out the upcoming crisis, was looking at a link between ISIS and its oil purchases and sales, and also how it's trafficking personnel weapons from Libya into Italy, linking up with the Mexican cartel to be able to allow access to the United States through our southern borders. At the same time, they were facilitating the ability of the Mexican cartel to be able to get into the European heroin community and bring down its prices. If you take a look at the numbers statistically, since the refugee crisis began, the price of heroin has dropped dramatically in Eastern Europe and also Western Europe, meaning that it's not just refugees coming across the border. You have a linkage of ISIS operators plus drug dealers that are now using that system to be able to transport personnel, intelligence capabilities, and even weapons. Some of those weapons have been intercepted by the Greeks, Coast Guard, as they were being moved into southern Italy, but that is a ongoing process of trying to interdict something that is already fast-flowing into Europe.
Now, there's a huge strain near the borders, obviously, like, for example, in Hungary or Greece and so forth, as all these migrants are coming in. And in fact,
yes,
you know, comment on that, yeah.
Well, here's the problem you run into. Germany, which is the most powerful economic bloc in Europe, in the EU, is really welcoming this because its population growth, going back to 2010, had dropped dramatically. Because its population growth was the lowest in the entire, really in the entire world, going back to 2010, it was losing capability to be able to sustain itself economically. So the way Germany is looking at it is welcoming these migrants, and because most of them are young men and women, believing that it's going to feed that workforce that it needs to. Even the Chancellor Merkel had said that we're going to put them to work as soon as possible. Mercedes company for Germany, and Germany has a hard time finding workers. So from their perspective, these individuals are going to become the next future cheap labor for Germany. At the same time, European communities realizing how badly Syria and all the Middle East has been ravaged, to include cities that have been destroyed, their belief has been that, well, if you bring them in, we don't just stabilize our populations. We work cheap labor to be able to get our economy moving forward in our country, but we can turn around and have these individuals shipped overseas to help build the economies and the roads and the houses and the buildings and the cities that were destroyed in Syria. The problem they're running into now is that Russia is making a permanent airbase there, and they're going to have a permanent presence in Syria, which is not going to allow these Eastern European or even Western European communities to be able to have a footprint there to be able to sustain themselves economically over the next 10, 20 years. The problem for the rest of the European communities, in this case Hungary, Serbia, and some of the other Eastern Bloc nations, is concerned is that Germany is driving, wanting to bring these workers in, but it's really affecting them negatively. To an extent, they're under pressure because economically they need Germany to say yes or no on the on how many individuals would be allowed in, given the fact that their economy is tied to German wants and desires within the region.
Huh. Now, some people, when it comes to Syria itself, some people talk about Syria that, okay, look, if they get rid of Assad, then all the problems are solved. And obviously that's not true at all. But what are your comments about Assad?
Well, we had said that when I was interviewed on a Raymond Arroyo show on the 5th of May, I believe it was, but it wasn't May, I can't remember the
exact
date.
Yeah.
I had stated that, you know, Assad had 6 months. What happened was once we brokered a deal with Iran nuclear deal, it changed the dynamics within the region. So one of the pieces that the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement had looked at was the shifting paradigm. As soon as that took place, that want and desire took place as far as trying to go with supporting Iran within the region, what ended up happening is even Israel started questioning its U.S.'s wants and desires to be able to provide security for them in the region. So that's why Israel is not really pushing back with Russia coming in specifically into Syria, because Russia has already promised that they'll protect Israeli borders as far as the Syrian and
So my question is Assad, you know, the problem, or is he, you know, would it be worse if he were gone?
Assad eventually probably will be gone. Even the Iranians didn't want to see him there because for their long enduring footprint. What's going to happen with Assad? Assad is going to remain probably in his seat until a decision is made as far as how Syria is going to be split up. Eventually, you will see Assad either take a lower position, step away after the next election is due, and somebody else be put in his place, or he will eventually disappear off the stage. With Russia being there, but Israeli needs to ensure that there's a stable Syria now, because it doesn't really trust U.S. when it comes to protecting its strategic interests within the region security-wise. And with Iran having a new footprint within that region, nobody really knows what the final outcome will be. But it will be tied to all these countries agreeing together. And I will tell you, before I could have said that U.S. had a say in it, we're at a point that I don't know if U.S. will have a say in it, given the fact that even Great Britain came out and stood against the current administration by saying that we may have to keep Assad in the region for the long term.
Wow. All right, we've been talking with Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Sangari, UnitedAssyrianAppeal.org, for more information. Thank you, Lieutenant Colonel. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
God bless.
Bye-bye.